Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Black Friday at BJ's Wholesale Club is so big, we called in the expert at paying less around the holidays.
Scrooge here. Past, present, or future, it's hard to beat the Black Friday deals at BJ's. Believe me, I've tried. Get 25% off select toys, 30% off select small appliances, and 45% off select TVs through December 1st. Plus, doorbuster deals Thanksgiving weekend. These prices are so good they even rattled old Marley's chain. Ah, humbug. Sorry, old habit.
Visit BJ's.com/Black Friday for holiday savings.
Hello, welcome back, everybody, to another year of the Sunday Podcast.
I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Back in 2025 for our fifth season. You can expect more of this.
He's claiming that he was ill before the semifinal, whatever. But, you know, I just feel like at that point he was just looking for attention.
And some of this.
And you normally say, no human is limited. So I can't limit myself, or I can't just say I can do.
As well as event coverage around all the major races on the UK circuit.
And if you're a fan of the pod, please give us a rating and review on your preferred podcast streaming service.
And if you want to stay up to date with all the latest news, give us a follow on Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
As always, thanks for listening. See you next time. And we hope you enjoyed the episode.
Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast. This episode is brought to you guys by sportsshoes.com. As always, look, very special episode today. We always enjoy previewing Liverpool Cross. Mate, is it our favourite race outside of the Olympics and the World Champs?
Mate, it's everyone's favourite. It's everyone's favourite.
Yeah.
Might have to be. We are previewing this event, obviously rounding up Cardiff Cross Challenge as well. We have a little bit of a twist today, and we'll be sharing this info on our Instagram too, so look out for that. But my good friend, Matty Sears, who is not a runner, but he is a statistician, and he has come up with a Liverpool cross-country predictor for us. So he has run the numbers based off some events we gave him and predicted the top 10s for both races out of that. So we essentially gave him Cardiff Cross Challenge results. We gave him Liverpool from last year, Mansfield from this year. We looked at 10K road times, 10K track times, half marathon times, 5K track times, 5K road times, put them all in a big calculator. Simulated essentially a race, gave these events all kind of points associated to them. So we put most emphasis on Liverpool last year, for example. And I think the one we said was the least relevant was your 5K track time, and went through from there. And it has come up with a pretty good top 10. We don't agree with all of it. We will go through exactly what it is, and we'll kind of talk about what we agree with, what we don't. But on the whole, mate, it's not bad at all, is it?
Well, we'll break it down. We'll see. Christ knows how your mate's done it. So thanks to him. Big shout out, because, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of data to sift through, but he's managed to pull it into a spreadsheet and give us some sort of unofficial rankings. So we've done our best to replicate what they do in the NCAAs with the flow track rankings and that sort of thing. So can't wait to
call. I'm not sure how they actually do that. I think they just make it up, to be honest, when they do it. So
what, like the poll? Well, supposedly they're quite official, you know, I think, of the team polls and stuff and the individual polls. So probably a similar way, but yeah, there's a lot of athletes and teams. If you do make it up, it's probably quite tricky. But so we've done our equivalent. So let's see. I think we're going to make a bit of a stir. Where should we start? Let's get this spreadsheet up. Where is it? Here we are. God, yeah, there's so much data. It took about 2 hours for it all to load in. Women's, I mean, it's gone with Kate Axford, right? This is your top six for the women's Liverpool Cross next weekend, according to the computer. Kate Axford, Izzy Fry, Abby Donnelly, Lucy Jones, Sarah Astin, and Charlotte Dannan, top six. Those who miss out, Carrie Hughes is seventh, Poppy Tank, eighth, Esme Davies, Amelia Quirk, Sophie Hicks, Sophie Tava. Now, these are all girls who have had pretty, you know, featured pretty high up in national cross. Someone who's not on this spreadsheet, who I think your mate might have just missed off and maybe a late entry, because obviously we are recording this Saturday night, is Jess Gibbon. And obviously she was sixth last year at Liverpool, I think, looked to be running pretty well at Cardiff, and obviously national cross winner. So just given it's probably something that does feature in that top six, but I think this is pretty, I mean,
it's not bad, is it?
I don't think it's too bad. I think Izzy Fry hasn't, like, if we look at, you know, Izzy Fry, if she's in shape, I think that's a shout, but Is she in shape? She hasn't raced. Is she even going to do Liverpool? I know she's entered, but she was entered to do Cardiff, didn't do Cardiff. So question marks over Izzy Fry for me. But I think the top two being Axford and Abby Donnelly is a pretty strong, firm lock.
Yeah, I think so, mate. And I think, so yeah, just for clarification, this was done yesterday. No, not so, yesterday. Yeah, Friday night. So it was based off who was entered on Friday night. So no Megan Keefe on there. We obviously spoke to
still
her.
Still not entered though. Still, we are.
It's 6 o'clock on Saturday. She's still not in. So again, another one who might well be on there. The other person on there, who's a bit further down, is Niamh Brown, who we took the top four performances of the ones that we were considering were important. And she's only had three performances that were
whatever,
or eligible basically. So actually she would score a lot higher. She's actually in the 96th percentile, and which would put her fourth if she had an equivalent performance that was the count.
Yeah. I think that's fair. And the way Niamh Brown's running, I think it's a pretty strong shout. Looked pretty good at Cardiff, looked good at Mansfield, like having a pretty good early season cross country. And yeah, I think at Cardiff, she was, 10, 15 seconds behind the likes of Jess Gibbon. And yeah, a little bit more behind the likes of Charlotte Dannett, Amelia Quirk as well. So, and I think Amelia Quirk's an interesting one because she's someone who hasn't raced, looks to be getting back to her best this year. Cardiff, that was impressive. Was quite surprised how she ran in Cardiff. And yeah, obviously we know last year had a bit of an up and down year, or very up and down year, shall I say. But I think she's certainly one to watch. So I think this computer's got her down in about 10th maybe. I think she could be someone who features for that top six, like they all could. And Poppy Tank as well had a great Cardiff cross. I mean, she was the next person behind Megan Keith, who we don't think is doing Liverpool, which is interesting.
It is when she's spoken about Eurocross already. I don't know, does she just get free entry? Does she just get invite? And so maybe they're not on there yet. But yeah, it is interesting. Someone else, obviously, as you said, just outside those qualification spots, the seventh place, Carrie Hughes. That was my mate's pick. So someone who knows nothing about running, just looks through the stats. That's who he said.
Which is interesting.
He actually gets on in the actual race based off the stats. And one of those things is that her average pace per kilometer across the group of events is pretty fast.
It's the quickest, right?
Yeah, one of the quickest. I think apart from Axford. No, apart from Izzy Fry is the highest. And then I think it's Carrie Hughes.
Mm. Yeah. Which is not a bad shout at all. But again, was due to do Cardiff and chose not to. So it does, you know, when athletes, I think it's risky not opening up, not doing any cross, you know, not
it's
doing.
It's risky, but we spoke about this when we previewed Cardiff, right? And we kind of said, look, we think all the big players are entered for Cardiff. They're all going to be there. Is this just going to be a dress rehearsal? And we really see basically where people are at. But I think if you're an athlete and you look to that start list, do you want to really go up against all your biggest rivals 2 weeks before?
No, but it's not that. I think it's just getting out there and experiencing the effort of cross country and just sort of learning the ropes a little bit, because it's been, you know, it's been a year for a lot of these athletes. And yeah, I know they're very credible. I know, you know, they race a lot. They have a history on the mud. You know, they're incredibly fit. They know what gets them into shape. But I still think there's nothing like, and again, I think about this from a Eurocross perspective for a lot of these athletes is, you know, if you go into Eurocross having done one race in Liverpool, I really think you would want, in my opinion, you would want more races than that. Because I think you get to Eurocross and you do get spat out a bit.
Yeah. I think you're right, mate. But it's just, I guess it's a balance for these women. And unless you wanted to go to a league match, I don't think Cardiff is the right environment for a lot of athletes.
Cardiff was stacked for these women. Cardiff was much, much deeper on the women's side than the men's side. You know, those who showed up and ran, you know, Keys, Poppy Tank, you know, women who've been on that GB team before, Amelia Quirk, Dannett's looking in great form, Jess Gibbon, Megan Harris. Yeah, Cardiff was pretty stacked. Mia Wildman, Niamh Brown. So, but you know, Hughes was, and again, you know, Hughes is banking on it being muddy, which, you know, as obviously we've had a lot of rain, whether it continues to rain, we'll see. But, you know, she is someone who was very, very good in the mud last year. Very, very good. But then did get to Turkey and struggled, you know. So then this is what I mean. When you do those early season cross races like Cardiff, they're fast And if you are preparing for Eurocross, I do think you have to experience those really hard hitting cross races and just different scenarios in cross. You know, in early season races are a lot firmer. Like look at Mansfield, it's a lot firmer underfoot. It's a great opportunity, especially these days. You know, Eurocross is 7.5K. Mansfield is a pretty accurate reflection. You know, if you can hammer around 5K on sort of twisty, turny ground, which is reasonably firm, I think it's a pretty good indicator of how you're going to shape up throwing yourself into a Eurocross. I mean, you know, I think that the team of Cowboys did that last year with great success.
Yeah, they did, mate. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, we'll talk about the men in a minute, how those guys pack. Obviously, Sarah Astin training with them on the women's side, and be interested to see how she does, because that's a big next step for her, for someone like her with B to get on that team.
Yeah, although, you know, she's spoken quite a lot about moving to the rows and half marathons and marathons and that sort of thing. And, you know, all this half marathon, marathon talk. I mean, firstly, we've always sort of spoken about the half marathon being, it's a race which is, you know, what's good in a half marathon. I think our perception is skewed on what's good in a half marathon because no one does it. If the half marathon was an Olympic event, people would be running 2 minutes quicker because they would have figured out the best way to train for a half marathon. Whereas people just, you know, they do a half marathon off the back of the track season, they do a half marathon in the build up to a marathon, you know. But all of this road stuff, you know, I think the best athletes, they can be in shape on the road and they can drill the cross country as well. So I think it's a good indication if she can come to the cross. You know, she is, like, she has a fantastic cross country background, Sarah Astin. So she can get on the cross country and get on that team. I think that would cement her class, that would cement her level.
I think it's just the confidence for me. I think if you go and you make that Liverpool team, it's one of the hardest.
So much confidence.
And yeah, I think you just know after that look, you can go on and prove yourself at kind of the next level. And I think, yeah, it's so key for these athletes before moving to the roads to go and get GB vests, and particularly one like Eurocross, then yeah, can be a big catalyst going forward.
Yeah, and you know, I think the cross country is an important place for people to learn how to race, even if you're a half marathon runner. Like, you know, look at what Emil could do. You know, the guy was able to dominate, especially at British level, almost at European level on the cross. You know, it's him and Jakob toe for toe, and then makes that transition to the roads, and then you see him perform so well in race situations in the marathon at the Olympics, you know, going forward. So yeah, we'll see what Astin can do out there. We know on her day she can be very, very good, and obviously our spreadsheet backs her to just sneak into that team.
Yeah, mate. So anyone you're swapping out in terms of your view versus the
No, yeah. So, definitely, I think Izzy Fry, question mark for me. I would love to see Izzy Fry make that team again, but the fact
I think if she does it, she'll be in the team. It's just whether she is actually racing. But yeah. I think we're only saying that because she didn't turn up to Cardiff, right?
That's all right. We need the inside scoop, man. I mean, we were going to record a preview with Patterson and Stonia that you've got to go, boys. They'll have the inside scoop on everyone in Loughborough. I think Patterson's on holiday, so yeah, we could have waited around for those boys. But do listen to that preview. They have some quite hot takes, some good takes, and some bad jokes. But yeah, so for me, Izzy Fry, question mark. I think I would bank on the likes of, just because her performance in Cardiff, Poppy Tank making this team 100%. Very, very good in the mud as well. Showed her class last year. So I would have Poppy Tank in this team. I'd probably be tempted to put Jess Gibbon in this team as well. Again, just on the mud. I know she's not in this, not on the rankings here, man. So I would be looking at taking Izzy Fry and Sarah Astin and Lucy Jones out of this team, and I would swap Carrie Hughes, Poppy Tank, and Jess Gibbon. So my team would be Kate Axford, Carrie Hughes, Poppy Tank, Abby Donnelly, not in, in no particular order, Charlotte Dannett, and did I say Jess Gibbon? Maybe. Can't remember. But those six.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you in terms of getting Poppy Tank, getting Carrie Hughes, getting...
Let me write it down, mate. We're getting all muddled.
In that team, yeah, for sure. Who would I bring out? I think Fry makes a team. I think, yeah, possibly Dannett and Astin for me, who are kind of like towards the bottom end of them, maybe miss out for some of those.
Yeah, there's my team, mate. There's my team. Just had to write it down because I was getting a bit mixed up. Kate Axford, Abby Donnelly, Carrie Hughes, Poppy Tank, Jess Gibbon, Charlotte Dannett.
Okay, and I'll go Axford, Fry, Donnelly, Hugh, Tank, Gibbon.
So yeah, you've done the same team, mate. You've just put Izzy Fry in a team instead of...
I think that's slightly different.
How do you?
Yeah.
Who knows? Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
I was actually just locking him. I was locking in my order there, to be fair. Yeah, I'm going Axford for the win as well. I think Donnelly, class act, off the back of the marathon again. And I think Axford looked sharp. She looked thrashed around Mansfield. She destroyed this race last year in the mud, shown her class in the mud. I think it is going to be a toss-up between Axford and Donnelly. I'm going to go with Axford just because of current form. And I guess I've just seen her run recently, whereas I guess there's always question marks over someone who's run a marathon, how training's gone since, how the recovery period's gone. So
I just don't think you're breaking Axford. And I think if you come into the last lap or halfway around the last lap with Kate Axford, she's gonna win the race. So
she's got
that. And I think she's strong enough that you can't break her.
Yeah, but Donnie is bloody good in the mud, actually. I think... Yeah, I mean, I'm only saying Axford because Donnelly's done the marathon, and I just
question marks over that.
But you know, with Donnelly on her day, even in the mud, I mean, where'd she come in Brussels? Third at the Eurocross in Brussels, man. Yeah, so you know, in the mud, unbelievable.
I wouldn't be surprised if they swap the round though at Euros by the time Donnelly's had a bit longer to recover from the map. But I think Liverpool Axford takes it.
Do you want to know a stat about Abby Donnelly? Third at Bucks Cross in February and then third at the Senior Women's Euro Cross. What? Who the hell beat her on that occasion at Bucks Cross? That is nuts. That is a stat. I don't know anyone who's come third at Bucks Cross and then managed to go get a bronze medal at the Senior European Cross Country Championships. It's Abby Donnelly making history. Just sieving through these Bucks results. God, there's just too many people.
Oh, I hate the way Para 10 does that.
Oh, it's just the worst, mate. It's the worst. It's absolutely worst. Mate, she got put away by Alex Millard and Amelia Quirk. Wow. Joe was fifth in that race. This is 2023 Bucks Cross. Megan Keith. Yep. Mate, looking at old cross results is just fascinating. Megan Keith, fifth in 2023. That's another one. And then she went and ran in the December.
Yeah.
Went and won Eurocross by a like record margin of about a minute.
Yeah.
In the under 23s. There we go.
And that's the thing. And this is the thing with Liverpool. There'll be someone not on this list or some of those athletes we spoke about at the start who are a bit further down. One of them will make the team or be close. Be very.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get a David Stone scenario, aren't we? I think it's less likely in the senior women's. To be honest, I think the elephant in the room is at this Liverpool Cross is always the under 23s. It's the under 23s having to peel off. Okay, two laps into the race, that is always a bit of an elephant in the room, a bit of spanner in the works. I think it's a little off putting for seniors. Not quite knowing where they stand. Like it's not very helpful at all for the seniors. And I also think for the under 23s, it really does skew the under 23 result because people can get away. You know, you don't really know where you stand in the race as an under 23, and I think that's difficult. And you know, it's a little bit like we were talking about Cardiff Cross last weekend. We had a conversation about that. Cardiff Cross last weekend, because you have those Kenyans, is almost a bit of a, it's almost like a paced 5K. It's almost like you have pacers in the race who are making that race as hard as possible. You're not having to think about tactics. You're not having to think about making moves. You're not having to think about, oh, I'm getting dropped from this front group, etc. Because you know, it's just the Kenyans set a tempo and everyone just see how long they can hold it. And I think there is a little bit of that in the under 20s as well. So it's kind of, this is going to sound a bit of a dumb take, but the fastest person or the person who can run around that Liverpool Cross the fastest kind of gets away with it. Whereas, you know, in cross country, I think it isn't just all about how quick you can cover the ground. It's also about how you can respond to moves, how you can mentally kind of stay engaged and little things like that and turns and everything.
Yeah. And I think, seem to recall last year as well, that the under 23s really didn't make the most so much of like pushing the pace on. They sort of just rammed the group and let the race.
They were very reserved. I thought they were very reserved.
I think some people this year, with it being the same again, will have learned from that maybe, or maybe they've been working on that with their coaches and actually have thought about, maybe I'll blow this thing wide open from the start and don't just run with the seniors and then kind of.
I don't think it happens. I don't think there's any under 23s. You know, even Will Barnaker, I'm not sure there's any under 23s who would do that. And I'm not sure there's any under 23s who actually have the ability to do that, to be honest. When I look at the senior men's and the senior women's, they'll dictate the tempo of that race, right? Senior men, same. You know, I don't think Barnica, I was surprised with Barnica last year. He was clearly in amazing shape. You know, the guy won the European Cross, for God's sake. Yeah, he was in incredible shape. But at Liverpool, for some reason, you know, that was, well, obviously he got beat by David Stone, who did go with that front group. Was it a risk or did he just sort of feel good on the day? You know, rumours came out after he was in amazing shape. X, Y, and Z. But yeah, I'm not sure there are any under 23s who impact the tempo of the senior races.
Interesting, mate. Interesting. We shall see. Let's switch over to that men's race and have a look at what our generators turned out. And look, surprise man at the top for many, I would say. Obviously, he's got some great performances off the cross, but maybe not quite what we'd have expected from him. So maybe this will be his year. Who knows? But Charlie Wheeler on top of the men's. Roy Lennon second. Jacob Carr third. Callum Johnson fourth. Richard Slade fifth. Jamie Crowe sixth. Oscar Bell is seventh. Gus McMillan is eighth. Charlie Brisley is ninth. Sam Bramwell is 10th. Jack Miller, 11th. George Wheeler, 12th. Zat Mohammed down in 13th place. Lewis Rogers, 14th. Alfie Manthorpe is 15th.
Scott Beatty's
like... We'll probably start there, right? At maybe 13th and 15th with Zat Mohammed and Alfie Manthorpe. We also know Mohammed is entered too and doesn't appear on this list due to not
Mohammed
performances.
Yeah, Mohammed, yeah, and Andy Boutrot. Both those guys coming into this with no past performances on the cross in quite some time. So we haven't, they're not in this big old database. Do we start with B, mate? Start again, you know, BT's similar, right, to what you were saying about Carrick Hughes. He's got the fastest average across
races. So BT's average pace per kilometre is like 2:49. Obviously, that super fast 5K indoors, bringing his average down, but he was the one that that Sizzy picked as an outside shot based off kind of looking through the data and stuff. So interesting how he gets on. I think with Scott Beattie, if he can kind of turn his confidence around, obviously we know that this year he kind of just wasn't really feeling it with the track post that big race indoors. But if he can get his mindset right, he's a super talented guy and he's a tough competitor. But depends what Scott Beattie turns up, right? And I think what will only help him is the fact that he's got his Macau teammates in there, and if they can start packing with the likes of Leonard, then
I mean they packed very, very well last year, right? Ellis Cross not doing it this year, but yeah, credit to him. Was it Scott Beattie? Ellis Cross. Scott Beattie was third last year, I think. Ellis Cross fourth. Roy Leonard fifth, maybe, or something like that. Yeah, and they packed well. They got after it. It was impressive from them. And it was very, very muddy last year. And Scott Beattie looked quite comfortable. And I mean, I know he had Tamara, I know he had Hugo Milner, but Scott Beattie did look quite comfortable in the mud. He was willing to push the pace and force things early and get a gap. You know what was interesting about last year is actually Liverpool is usually a bit quite a long snaking train for a long time. And then sort of going into that last lap, things start to break, you know, kind of first lap, everyone looks like they are actually in contact with the person ahead. So it's just that, you know, not many gaps appear. Second lap, gaps start to appear going into that third lap. And then you really start to see people break away on that final lap and get these big sort of winning margins. I say big winning margins. I think the average winning margin at Liverpool is about 4 seconds. That really is tight. You go back through the years, it's like 2 seconds, 3 seconds. It's like, what?
Unless you go back to Ross Millington days.
Mate, even Millington days. Like you think, like when you're watching the race, you're like, oh, he's got 20 meters on that person. But you know, these guys cover 20 meters in about 4 or 5 seconds. So it was, where was I? But yeah, so I think last year was interesting because actually there was a lead pack that got away very early on, 6-7 minutes into the race, lap one, not before it's even been completed. You've got the likes of, you know, Tamer, Milner, Scott Beattie and David Stone. And I think Leonard tries to go with them. He drops off. Even coming around that first lap, he wasn't in contact. So there was just four guys just away. They were way and clear. And I think the mud... And it was similar in the women's race, you know, one lap in, similar sort of scenario. And I think that is because the mud. So if it is muddy, I think we will see this race break up early and there will just be people who can run well on the mud and people who can't. If it's not muddy, I think this will be quite a deep packed field. And you're going to see all of those names that we've just mentioned feature deep into this race.
That's it, mate. And so many of these guys have run like crazy times on the 10K on the road and the half marathon. And it's tough to split them. But like you say, when cross country comes in, and the thing is, mate, even if it's not super muddy, by the time these guys are on their third lap, it's so churned up anyway that it starts to play its toll. I mean, there's a chance that it actually stays firm the whole time they're racing, even if they start with an all right course.
Agreed. Another name we haven't mentioned is of course Cam Allen. Very, very strong. Won first leg at Mansfield. Has a good half. Has a good 10K. Has a good 5K. The guy's a pretty accomplished, well-rounded athlete, and you know, also in good shape on the cross. Didn't see him in Cardiff, but has been moving well. The Houghton Harrier. Yeah. So, and I think he's someone who could feature in this. You know, he's a 338 man. Was he third at the Intercounties? Third or fourth at the Intercounties? So, and just, yeah, has very, very good pedigree. Don't think he's done Liverpool in a little while, actually. Don't remember him doing it last year. And then the year before, I think he was in America. So,
yeah, see, don't think he's a feature on here.
That's why he doesn't feature. Yeah, he's certainly one to watch. So I guess talking about how this race is going to play out, you know, I'm banking on it being pretty muddy with the rain we've had. And you said, the footfall that you're going to get over Liverpool. So I can see four or five breaking away. And then it's going to be that big train for the rest of the field. And it's just going to be who can, you know, I think, you know, part of me says that, like, if Mohamed is doing this, I mean, we had
a bit of I think the Mohamed boys, I think the two of them, right?
Dude. Zach Mohamed does not run away with this. Jacob Kahn was a second behind that guy in Cardiff.
You saw his face, mate. He's confident and he's going to run with his
Me brother. And Lum had a pretty funny interaction with Zach Mohamed at Cardiff and and Idris. And we were trying to quiz them on.
We're trying to get some inside info, right? Of basically how hard he tried and.
Mohamed. I was like, how's Mohamed doing? And yeah, they just sort of smirked and said.
The look he gave us, mate, gave me enough confidence in him. They're my top two. For me, Mohamed and Zach. That's my top two.
Interesting top two, mate. Interesting top two. Mohamed has not done anything since the London Marathon. So I think he will look at, you know, I don't care, you know, how good you are, what your pedigree is. I think if you have not done any races in a year, well, not a year.
He's the best cross-country runner this country has, though. On his day, out of any, like, you throw anyone in there, you bring in whoever. Like on a muddy cross country, I back if they're both in shape and both ready to go, I back Mohamed.
Yeah, but his training's changed. I strongly think that his training would have changed since the days where he was tearing up Bucks Cross, he was tearing up National Cross. You know, in 2022, 3 or 4 years ago, the guy has moved to the marathons. His training would have changed. It would have been a lot. It's now, you know, focused a lot more on volume, focused a lot more on threshold, on these tempo zones. He would have had to build up that strength. Is he able to step down and cope with the sort of change of pace? You know, when was the last time he ran on a muddy surface for one? You know, I think one of Mohamed's strengths was he would do a lot of cross country and he was very used to it. Look, you never lose it, do you? Right.
That's what I think. For me, I'm just like, he's the strongest he's ever been. And he's so good at running on terrible terrain.
Mate, his record's not amazing. The year he won the National Cross, he was fifth at the trial. Who beat him then? You know, he was third at the London Cross. That was when Caress won Hugo Milner. Milner has actually put Mohamed away a serious amount on cross. Because he also beat him at the London Cross Champs as well. He's beat him twice at Liverpool before. So if Hugo Milner was doing it, I think you'd probably say he is a pretty firm favorite because he has a great record on the country. But yeah, he's put Mohamed away on
his
time.
I said on his day, I think Mohamed is the best in the UK.
On his day, and you know
when he's at his best, and for me, looking at, you know, the entries for this year's Liverpool, there's no one else who, even if he's not on his day, is as good as him.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. I do rate Mohamed, but I think I might disagree with that. I think. You know, Mohamed also, you talk about on his day, he hasn't had a day since London 2024, 2705. So, you know, he's obviously, the Olympics was difficult for him. He was injured. So he's had a lot of injuries, had a lot of setbacks. And I think, you know, when we were looking at Mohamed in 22, 23, 24, you know, the guy had, you know, had very, very little injuries. He was just relentless. So, and he got very good at racing domestically and beating guys on a domestic level. So anyway, let's get back to this spreadsheet. So you're going to go for the Mohammeds to sort of try and run away with this. I don't think it's going to be as clear cut as that. And I'm even looking at sort of the Macau boys and, you know, Leonard and Beattie. And it's just so, and yeah, why the hell is James Kingston not on this? Is it because he's under 23 or something? I just clocked that.
Yeah, there's no 23. We're taking the 23s off.
No, but he's not an under 23 anymore, mate. He's a senior. But I think it's,
on it.
Mate, we've got 32 minutes into this podcast. No James Kingston. Mark Cookway is going to kill us. maybe he'll be grateful. Hey, he's a senior now, Kingston. Yeah. So
maybe he wasn't entered when
he will be entered, man. He will be entered. Have a quick look. Kingston would have entered Liverpool 4 months ago. Yeah, I mean, I personally think this senior men's race is going to follow a similar, I would like to bet it will follow a similar fashion to last year, where sort of four to five men who on their, he is on the spreadsheet.
No, he's entered, I should. Yeah,
he's entered, yeah.
Will be because his track and road times aren't that good in comparison to some of these boys.
Yeah. That's not me.
That's not controversial. That is not controversial.
Yeah, he's a national cross champ.
I see. Yeah, so his track and road times.
And he's made the GB team on multiple occasions on the 22. Yeah, but yeah. I think the way this men's race is going to play out is actually there's going to be three to five men in lead pack pretty early on. And I think they are the ones who are going to sort of just give and take. And the winner's going to come out of that group. But who those three or five are, I think it just depends on the day so much. Like who's at the races, who's ready to get after it, who's in good shape, who can handle the course, whether it's dry, whether it's wet, whatever. Like, you know, I think the course is always a factor at Liverpool. And, you know, you could see a scenario if it's dry. We're going to finally see one of the wheelers make the team. We're going to finally see Charlie feature. Alfie Manfort coming off that terrific half marathon. Jacob Kahn is just throwing it down at the moment. But, you know, if it is wet conditions, any conditions, actually, I'd do back, you know, the likes of Kingston, Slade, 100%. And obviously the Mohammed as well. It'll be very interesting. But I think for one of the, I don't know if it's just they're all very similar, but for the first time in a long time, I think it's very, very hard to call a winner.
I think it's more open than it has been in previous years.
I think it's a lot more open, but also it's a lot harder to call
the best.
The team. Like, the team. You know, yeah. I think in previous years, you've had the likes of Emil turn up. You know, you've had, you know, Hugo Milner, who was fourth at Eurocross, and last year, like, well, there's no way that guy's not going to make a team. I remember when Mark Scott made the team a couple of years back, you know, he'd run 12th February, and it was like, you know, of course he's going to make the team. And I think, you know, Jack Rowe, when he ran his, you know, he was just in great shape, and it was like, well, yeah, you know, he's a banker. And I think it's very hard to look at any of these men and say they're a banker. Even someone like Scott beating Rory Leninger, like they're going to have to go some to make that team.
Well, mate, how's Bouchard going to do? Someone in the past would have been a banker, but we have no idea how Andy Bouchard runs in this race. If Andy Bouchard is turning up to Liverpool, he's not doing it to just run around.
No, I mean, I think he is.
Yes.
Well, you know, not, you know, he won't want to come 20th, but I think Bouchard's decided, I need to race more domestically. I need to get out this. I think he'll be looking at this winter just going, I just need to get stuck in. I just need to get back enjoying it. I need to get stuck in. I need to compete. And just have a very honest, traditional winter. You know, remember in 2016, the guy turned up at Liverpool. He tanked Liverpool, you know, absolutely destroyed Liverpool. I can't remember if it was him or Hawkins who won that year. But, you know, that sort of era, you know, he would very much, Bouchard ran his best years off of a traditional English winter, right? And then in January, you know, he would get out to a camp, and then, yeah, he wouldn't do much indoors, and then he would sort of get ready to rip come the summer and get some good tens and fives in. So, and I think he's probably looking at that, and, you know, he's got family and stuff, and he's just thinking, yeah, do you know what? I want to be in these races. I want to just get in there and see what I can do. And I think he wants a traditional English winter, and that's why we're seeing him feature. But I don't have him to make the team. If he does make the team, I think that's a huge result for him. Cause I think, yeah, I don't even think he's there. In flat speed at the moment. Let alone cross
these guys, over a 10K road, The one thing he has, obviously, is like, look, for Andy Bouchard, you're looking down this list and you're thinking,
he's got confidence.
Yeah.
Like, he's got bags of that. You know, yeah. But you're looking at a guy who ran 13:37 in Belgium in summer, in August. And Belgium in the summer was, anyone who was in that meet ran a huge PB.
Go on there, mate. Let's go through your six. Let's go through your six. We'll remind you of the sort of six. So you got Wheeler one, Rory Leonard second, Jacob Carn third, Callum Johnson fourth, Slade fifth, and Jamie Crow sixth. Who are you keeping? Who are you knocking out?
You got to bat your boy, purely.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think, oh man, it's so true. I mean, even just picking a winner is just like, it's very, very exciting. Jamie Crow, by the way, is a bit of a dark horse. He is bloody good at Liverpool. He's always run well.
Yeah, he made our team before a few times.
He's always run well. Yeah. So, and yeah, I think, look, big top three for me. I'm just going to go on cross. In fact, top five. I'm going pure cross-country pedigree. I'm taking out all those guys. And this is, well, I say I'm going pure cross-country pedigree because I'm going to leave out people like Roy Leonard in this, I think.
Yeah.
Which I could regret heavily. But I think on that team, when it gets to the race, I think Callum Johnson's going to be on the team. I don't know who's going to win. This is the difficult part. I think Callum Johnson will be on the team. I think Richard Slade will be on the team. I think Jacob Can will be on the team. I think James Kingston will be on the team. And I think the two Mohammeds will be on the team.
There you go.
Bad take, maybe. Bad take. Scott Beaton and Rory Leonard, obviously very, very accomplished and good athletes. And so, and then I guess that's like a top eight. But then you've got Alfie Manfort. I mean, I think just predicting this team is a lose-lose, to be honest. I think it's too difficult.
That's a cop-out, mate. You can't do it. You sticking with those six?
Look, I mean,
cross-country pedigree.
The way I'm viewing it, right, just to kind of break down what I'm thinking. I don't think Rory Leonard or Scott Beaton beat Zach Mohammed last weekend. That's my thought process. And, you know, I think Jacob Cannon was a second behind Zach Mohammed. I think Slade was 10 seconds behind Zach Mohammed. So you're putting Leonard and Beattie somewhere in that ballpark. I think, but then you've got a muddy course and you've got the fact that, I mean, BT hasn't raced in a while. I don't think they've raced in a while. I think, look, they had a lot more. I think they had, going into Liverpool last year, they hit Mansfield hard. They kind of knew what they could do. I think they knew how they shaped up against other people as well. And I think that gives you confidence in the race, knowing that, hey, look, I've beat these people before already just a month ago or X, Y, and Z. And, you know, I know I can run with these people and push on and I'm going to break them. You know, if I push on now, I'm probably going to break this person. I've got a great head-to-head record against them, et cetera. So, you know, I think they had that on their side last year. I think, you know, obviously Leonard did drop out of that marathon and, you know, obviously, you know, potentially fitness is there. Scott paced that half. Did, you know, how did he feel in that? So I think there are, and I guess the only reason I'm not backing Leonard and Beattie is because, and off Callum Elson is another man who could make this team as well. But the only reason I'm not backing, you know, those two is just because they haven't raced on the cross, which is crazy, crazy. I know, because obviously Leonard was seventh last year at the European Cross against an unbelievable field. You know, I think Almgren was only a couple of seconds ahead of him, Kripa, Ingebrigtsen, and it was an unbelievable field. And then obviously went on to run the 10K British record. But yeah, you know, I think the two Mohammeds. And so I was looking at Cardiff Cross, but I know Liverpool's not Cardiff Cross, but I'm just thinking, I don't think they would have, because if they beat Mohammed last weekend, that means they would have been right amongst those Kenyans. And I'm not sure they would have finished top three last weekend in Cardiff.
No, I don't think so.
And I guess I'm leaving out the Wheelers. I'm leaving out Manthorpe, and yeah, I'm leaving out all those guys who raced a half marathon, because I just think Liverpool is 8K on sloppy mud, twisty turns, and it's pretty far away from a half marathon.
Mate, I'm going to go Mohammed, Zach Mohammed, Callum Johnson, Jamie Crow, Charlie Wheeler, and I'll bat your boy Slade.
Yeah, trying to just think about mine now. I can't even remember mine now. But I was just thinking,
who you
put in yours, though. I didn't, you know.
I put Charlie Wheeler in, who you didn't put in. Put Crow in, who you didn't put in. And I put...
To give the listeners some context, we're just hitting these predictions right now on a Saturday night. I haven't really thought about this.
Oh, yeah. Mate, we've not been sweating over these for weeks. That's just, yeah. We'll speak to each other on Tuesday and we'll have predicted completely different things. So
yeah, definitely. So yeah, and I think, you know, big dark horse performances. I think, you know, there are people on the outside here that I think, if they have a day, and you know, one of those is Burchard, like he's a bit of an unknown quantity, right? I think, you know, Cam Allen is another one, like bit of an unknown quantity. You know, and then I think Alfie Manthorpe has made that team before. He's ticked that box, and he's always very, very close. He's been a bit of a specialist at sort of getting in that fifth, sixth, seventh spot over the last few years.
as Manthorpe. So yeah, there are some guys, even when you look at sort of like cross pedigree. And I think what's funny is, you know, people will think we're crazy. You know, how can you leave out these big names? But when you go back and you look at Liverpool results, there are always big names who miss out.
Yeah, I think so. And I think...
And there are always big names who underperform. You know, just like there's people who step up, there's big names who underperform. And one of those for me last year was Ben Connor. Like the credentials Ben Connor has over the country. I mean, the guy finished 14th last year. You know, he's kind of a prime example. And he'd run a 62-minute half marathon a couple, what, 6, 7, 8 weeks before Liverpool crossing. Last year, you know, I know all the lads have run 61 now, but last year, 62 minutes for half was like, phew, that's really strong going. And Ben Connor has cross-country credentials, you know, and he has all the strength and the accolades. And you're like, I mean, this guy looks pretty... And in fact, didn't he like do that? It was him and Milner at the weird national cross, which got cancelled, wasn't it? Who were like 1-2, I think. But he came 14th at Liverpool Cross. And so I think that's kind of where my thought process is around some of my selections and what...
Yeah, we shall see, mate. We shall see. So look, yeah, less than a week to go for those of you listening. Feel free to tell us how wrong or right you think we were. we'll be posting the kind of the generators top 10s on Instagram tomorrow as well. So, or today. If you're listening on the Sunday, so
should we touch a little bit? I mean, there's obviously under 23s. I think there are a few names to mention. Under 23s again is very difficult to predict for me. Darren Stone is a prime example. People coming out of nowhere. But what frustrates me about under 23s is that it's a race within a race, and you know, obviously that team is huge to make and it's a massive stepping stone. So it's just like I said, it's just difficult to really predict who's going to run well when it's not in a classic sort of head-to-head scenario. But like on the women's side, you know, people who are running well, Megan Harris is running exceptionally well in that under-23 team, Emily Parker, Mia Waldman is, you know, just going off of her cross-country season last year is arguably a bit of a lock for that team. India Barwell, Holly Weedle, Rebecca Flaherty, Lucy Armitage, all of these, you know, there's some on the women's side, some good B Wood, even, you know, previous, you know, someone's got very close. And I don't know even if many under 23s from last year are even entered. I just don't need to double check Meg Gatsby and people like that. I've lost the tab now, Lama, so I'm stuffed. But that's on the women's side.
We should be prepping
more.
I
should, mate. There's a lot of entries to sift through. But and the under 20s, well, it's the Eunice Fitzgerald show, isn't it, on the women's side? Easy peasy.
It certainly is. Mate, I don't know why she doesn't just run a seniors.
Fitzgerald.
Yeah, just see what she can do. Just let her in, let her do Euros as an under 20, but just let her...
I think it's quite nice she doesn't, because actually, you know, coming off of the summer she had, she doesn't have to be in that good a shape. Like, she could have actually took a rest period and she could build back up quite slowly. So I actually think it's a big win for her to stay in the under 20s. Now she's at the level where she is making major teams. It just means that she doesn't have to be that on it in November, but like a lot of the seniors will, to make the team and then have to hold that all the way till the summer.
True, mate. And she can go and play around with different distances in the summer and all sorts like that. So yeah,
Meg Gatsby is entered as well. So I mean, how can you question a defending champ in the under 23s? So, and then on the men's side, you got Will Barnico, right? I mean, can anyone get near that man as an under 23?
Yeah, I mean, Barnico, he had a bit of a wacky time last year, though, didn't he?
It was a funny old race. It was a funny old race.
And, that's what I mean. In a true run race, yeah, no one touches Barnico. But I think he'll have learned his lesson though from last year, and he'll pay closer attention, and he'll really make sure. But yeah, I think you're right, mate. In a true run race, he smashes it, but can throw up some weird results.
What do we think about? I think Barnico. I think Daff Jones is not a bad shout. What do we think about Henry Jonas's chances of getting on that team? He's run well over the cross in the past as an under 20, but you know, he has sort of established himself as a pretty firm sort of 15 boy now. And how's he going to fare over 5.5K? What's his chances to make that team?
I just think these days, with it being so short, that it does allow people to stay in cross country for longer in terms of making teams, where previously, like, it was kind of like you could be good as an under 17, maybe good as an under 20. If you were an A15 guy or girl, but Now you've got an opportunity to keep making teams at under 23.
You do. If you're 15, you 15 boy, you really do. And you know Eurocross is going to be your sort of course. So if someone like Jonas can just get onto that team, you're probably looking at Eurocross as, you know, he's going to Portugal. It's going to be firm, isn't it? It's going to be firm. It's going to be flattish. It's going to be fast. So he might enjoy that course if he can get on it. Another man who...
Look, Andreas Armstrong, mate. So his future might be in
his transition. Anyway, I got to admit, yeah. You reckon Jonas's numbers are predicting a 58-20 half marathon in a few years. We'll see. But a few others in the under-23s. Oshan Perrin is a man that I think, again, due to race Cardiff, but didn't. I mean, he's a big... He's probably a... Haven't seen him much from the country. Don't get to see much of him at all. I know he's very injury prone, but he is probably a name to make that under-23 team. I would probably put him in that top 5-6. Romy Lindgren's moving very well. Matt Ramsden's moving very well on the men's side. He's another guy who could probably get amongst that team. Sam Hodgson had a good Mansfield. Yeah, that's I think that's some of the key players on the men's under-23 side and the women's under-23 side. It's a little trickier to predict. I mentioned Daph Jones, didn't I? So.
Yeah,
there we go, mate. I think that's the Liverpool preview.
There it is. That wraps us up. Thanks for listening to us. We'll try and get you some more preview content throughout the week. But yeah, looking forward to Liverpool. Hope you guys are too. Thanks for listening to us. We'll catch you very, very soon.